I'm not praying anymore. I'm here to tell you tonight, my God is the God of deliverance. I don't care where he puts his hands. I don't care who he gets in his clutches. He better just watch where he steps. I'm not turning my back. I'm not running away. I'm going to stand my ground. Not because I'm anything, but I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that there is no power, no height, no depth, no principality that is able to take me out of the hand of the Lord. No matter what I've got to endure. What he was telling us was things aren't the way that they used to be. In those days, they couldn't come to God. Did you read between the lines? They couldn't come to the Lord. They couldn't touch the mountain, or they would be killed. They would be thrust through the dark. Even if one of their beasts touched it, they would be killed instantly. God was not fooling around. But I'm here tonight to tell you that even though the Lord is telling you to get your house in order, he also wants you to know that it's not the way that it used to be, because there has been a mediator that has come down from God out of heaven. A mediator whose name is Jesus. And through what he did on the cross, we now have a better way and we have more precious promises. You don't have to be afraid of what the devil's going to do, of what he puts in your mind that God's going to do. And that's what he is saying by this word. He's saying, but you are come unto a Mount Zion and an innumerable company of angels. And he said in the Holy, and he even said the souls of righteous men that have been justified. He's talking about the redeemed. Whatever it is you're going to have to go through, you're not going to go through it alone. And you're not the only one that's going through it. And you're not the only one that's ever gone through it. As he said in the scriptures, there's an innumerable host that have had to endure things that have already made it. Read what it says there. He said, you've got a better way. Because Christ has made a way for you. He talked about it. He said, through the sprinkling of his blood. Hope you get that in your mind. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what kind of financial troubles I have. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what kind of physical ailments I'm going through. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter which family member the enemy has put his hand against. Because one thing remains for sure. I am washed in the blood of the Lamb. I have been saved. I have been sanctified. I have been filled with His Holy Spirit. And there's nothing that all of hell can do that can take that away. Time we stop turning our back to the enemy. When you read, in the scriptures and it talks about our spiritual warfare. In the book of Ephesians, I believe it's chapter 5 and 6, and it talks about the garb that we have. We have the helmet of salvation, and we have the breastplate of righteousness, and our loins are girt about with truth, and our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And there is nowhere in any of that munitions that we are putting on for protection. There is nothing that safeguards our back. Because it was never intended that you turn your back on the enemy. I'm after something. A couple Sunday nights ago, Sister Dale got after me. Because I was up here on the platform and there was an old song that came to my mind. I know, shock. That old song says, I've got my foot on the rock and my mind's made up. Though I walk through a lonely valley, though I drink from a bitter cup, when the devil comes to knocking, showing me an easier way, I'd stand right square on my feet. The song says, I throw my head in the air. I look him straight in the eye. And I tell him my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up. And that might make good singing and that might make good preaching. But I'm here tonight to tell you it makes better living. You want to talk about having confidence in God? The next time you face a trouble or a trial, you stand your ground. You look the devil in the eye and you tell him, do your best, old boy. But when the day is done, I have made up my mind. My foot's on the rock and my mind's made up. I'm not going to run this way, and I'm not going to run that way, and I'm not going to run over here looking for a word, and run over there looking for a word. Open up your Bible and get in your prayer chamber and begin to pour out your heart before God, and the Lord will bring you a word. It's easy to see they would not pick me to promote their conferences. He said, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down. Quit being defeated in your mind. You know that's what that means, right? Lift up the hands that hang down. And he says, in the feeble knees. That's a translation thing. When you go back to read it in the original language, it says, lift up the hanging arms that hang down and stand up on your feeble knees. Oh, I said it, but I don't know that you caught what I meant. We as human beings are prone to give in to our weakness of whatever it is and our despair and our despondency. And when God looks at us spiritually, we're standing there and we're on quivering knees and our hands are hanging low. And usually there's a song on our spirit that speaks about, woe is me. Why am I having to go through this? And the word of the Lord to you tonight is stand up. Doesn't matter how feeble your knees are, stand up. Doesn't matter what caused you to drape your arms toward the ground, lift them up. I want to tell you something. There is something to this praise life before God. What do you mean? I mean, there is something. You go back and you read one of the greatest books in all the Bible. It's the book of Psalms. Over and over and over and over and over again, we see a man named David that has gone through hell and high water, and everything that could be thrown at man was thrown at him. And yet every time he turned around, he would lift up his voice and he would praise his God. You would say, oh, Brother Cooley, does praise really have that kind of power? I aim to tell you it does. I was in a particular service a number of years ago and we were worshiping God and the Spirit of the Lord came into that place. I mean, the power of God was thick and there was a guy that played on our church softball team. Just a little runt of a guy. And he was the local high school coach and a substitute teacher and he taught wrestling and things, but he had an impingement. In his shoulder. I think it was probably a badly torn rotator cuff or something like that. But for years, he could never lift his arm any higher than that. Any higher than that. That was it. Oh, we got to worshiping God this one night. And I mean, oh, the Lord was so there. Hands had shot up all over the place. Tears were rolling down people's faces. God was so near. He was so close. And I got to looking out at the crowd. My eye just caught something. And the Spirit of the Lord got a hold of me and my feet couldn't stand still. And, you know, they get to looking at you kind of funny when you do that. And why in the world's he doing something like that? Because I looked out and about three quarters of the way back on this side, sat that guy that was on the softball team, and sat that high school coach, and the guy that couldn't lift his arm any higher than that. And I looked back there at him, and he didn't make any pretense about it. His head was thrown back. He was lifting up his voice in praise unto God. And I mean to tell you, both arms were standing straight in the air, and that shoulder impinged him no more. And by the time we were done, he was bawling, a grown man crying, and he says, "I don't understand it, but I so thank God for it." And he gave his testimony. He said, "Somewhere in the middle of just my praising the Lord, everything loosened up. And before I realized what was going on, both of my arms were in the air and I was praising the Lord." I'm here tonight to tell you there is power in praise. There is power in worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And if you'll do it right, it will move God on your behalf. It doesn't require you to be in a church service. It doesn't require somebody to be sitting at a musical instrument. It doesn't require any of that. All you got to do is get along with the Lord. And all you got to do is with your heart begin to lift up your voice and magnify His holy name. Lift up your voice and praise His holy name. And you will find that the shadows of darkness will not come nigh. Lift up the hands which hang down and stand upon the feeble knees. Hear what he says. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. The whole rest of that chapter hinges on that one verse right there. I want to say it again. Make straight paths for your feet. The life that you're living with the Lord Jesus Christ is a life of choice. You choose where you go. You choose what you do. You choose whether you lift up your voice and praise Him or not. You choose whether you worship Him in spirit or in truth, or whether you're waiting for the latest jargon to come down from the local mega church to tell you how to praise and worship God. I got news for you. They ain't got it right. And I know that's bad English. Get over it. But the fact remains, they ain't got it right. God wants you to get your house in order. And He wants you to do it the right way. And it begins by ceasing allowing yourself to be a defeated child of God. It was years ago. A little spit of a guy by the name of John Starnes would sing for Brother Swigert at his crusade meetings and things in the church and whatnot. And I'll never forget it. I remember the first time I heard it. A little song that he used to sing called "Don't Give Up on the Child of God." He'll be there when the battle is over. He'll make it through the storm. He'll find his way through the darkest night. Don't give up on the child of God. He'll be there when the battle is over. Don't give up. Don't give up on the child of God. Quit being defeated. Quit allowing yourself to be overwhelmed. Do you hear me? I'll go back to what he said in John, I believe it was chapter 14. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." And he said, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." But he began that whole session by saying, "Let not your heart be troubled." Here we go with the translation thing again. Do you know what it really means in the Hebrew text? In the Greek, it means stop it. Cease letting your heart be troubled. Stop letting the devil come to you and tell you what he's going to do. Stop letting the things that you're having to endure, the things you're having to go, stop letting them defeat your mind. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Am I making any sense to you tonight? The Lord's after something. God's not trying to wash people out. He's trying to wash them up. But there's a right way to go about it. And He told us there in the book of Hebrews that it comes through the blood. It always comes through the blood. I remember hearing the testimony of Brother Swigert, who has gone to be with the Lord now, tell that in 1996 the Lord gave him the message of the cross. I know for a long time now they've put it out like they're the only ones that have received that message from the Lord. But I remember very clearly in my early ministry years, the Lord brought me the same message in a little different terminology, but the same belief. And the Lord told me one day, it was in the early 90s, and He said, listen, He said, serving God all comes through the way of the cross. And the Spirit of the Lord began to speak to me, and He said, the cross is the filter for all things. What happened at the cross? What happened at the cross? You know what happened at the cross? Flesh died. Did you hear me? So the place of the cross is the place where all flesh goes to die. What do you mean? All of our will, all of our own dreams, all of our own purposes, everything in this life, all flesh dies at the cross. That's what He means when He says everything that can be shaken shall be shaken. And He says, pay attention to those words yet once again. Because He said, and you read it there with me. He said, it's what it means is all of those things that are shaken are going to be taken out of the way. Read between the lines. Do you understand what that means? How are the things that are shaken in our life taken out of the way? The judgment of God. The Bible says that in the last days of which we are in, the judgment will not come to the world except it starts in the church. We hear it in the news every week because they love to make it news. Every week about another minister here and another minister there, and he's fallen and he's greedy and he's possessed with filthy lucre or sexual demons that have gotten a hold of his spirit. Maybe he was that way all along and people just didn't know it because they did not discern, because they were not in the spirit, because they really weren't serving God the way they should. Amazing how that all comes out. And it makes headlines all the time, and another minister has fallen, and another minister has fallen, and another minister has fallen. All flesh dies at the cross. Everything that can be shaken shall be shaken. To where only that that is good and righteous and unshaken remains. You don't know tonight, but that the trial that you're having to go through isn't the hand of God shaking your life. Rather than squawking and complaining,
murmuring about this or that or the other. Why don't you just turn to the Lord and say, okay, what needs to fall off? What needs to die? What am I carrying around that is hindering your life-giving flow? I listen to pastors and ministers talk all the time about, oh, there's no move of God, and there's no true revival, and there's no fire, and there's no... Where are they living? I mean, maybe not on a corporate level, but when I get in my prayer chamber with the Lord, there's fire. When I sing the songs of Zion, there's pain. When I come before the Lord with His Word and He speaks His Word to me and He convicts me of something that should not be there, I repent of it. That's revival right there, you understand. And God will move in my life in ways that I'm astonished every time He does, every time He moves, every time He touches. How is it I can be sitting and watching the world news and bombs dropping all over the place, and suddenly the Lord will just kind of interrupt it with a voice of the Spirit and begin to speak to me? Well, I don't know about you, but that's powerful. Maybe not to you, I don't know. All I can tell you is what I go through. And it's a powerful thing to me when God will interrupt my life to speak to me with His voice. Because I'm here to tell you tonight, His voice makes the difference. When He speaks, the songwriter said, it relieves my troubled mind. When He speaks, all fear of future things just dissipates into nothing. When you realize He's the King of all the ages. What are we getting all bent out of shape for what's happening in the Middle East? It was prophesied in the Word of God. What are we getting worried about whether it comes to our shores or not? I tell my mom all the time, I don't really care what happens to me, because I'm already dead. What do you mean? Because that old man died a long time ago. And the life that I now live, the life that I now live is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. And there is no power in all of this world that can do anything to touch Him. What have I got to be defeated about? I serve the Creator of all the ages. What have I got to be down about? Yeah, there's troubles. Yeah, there's things that we're going. Yes, it's very real. But the Bible says He's touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Now, we get overwhelmed, but He doesn't, because He's God. And when we learn to understand that it's not about us. Here we go again. All flesh dies at the cross. When we learn that it's not about us. Your pastor said it this morning. It's about Him. Paul would say in his waning years that I may know Him. Then I can endure and fellowship, even in sufferings, he said, the fellowship of sufferings. Knowing that I've got a better promise. And the scripture we read tonight is a better promise than what Abel had. Righteous Abel, killed by Cain. Because Abel was obedient and Cain was disobedient. And his blood cried out to the Lord from the ground. And if we've got better and more precious promises even than what Abel had, then I'm here to tell you tonight that you serve a God who will hear you when you pray. You may not always see it, But if you'll trust Him, He's working on your behalf. Now, there may be things He's trying to shake off of you. I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit deal with that one. Because there, and I don't care who you are sitting here tonight, there's things on you that need to be shaken off. Even what do you say? Even a root of bitterness. Even something as minute as that, a root of bitterness springing up in you. And He said, thereby many are defiled. Why are many defiled? Because I have a root of bitterness in me. And I come to tell you, your life, to the good or to the bad, does not affect only you. But it affects those around you as well. The Bible says there is strength in numbers. That's why He said one can put 1,000 to flight. But two, they don't put 2,000, they put 10,000 to flight. The life you live affects others around you. Don't let a root of bitterness spring up in you and defile many people around you. God's after something. He's after your house. And it's time that you get your house in order. Because Jesus is coming soon. And He is coming back after a bride, the Bible says, that is without spot or blemish. Did you hear that? His bride, the true church of Jesus Christ, is going to be without spot or blemish. Not going to be any wrinkled, soiled garments. That's why He's coming to shake everything that can be shaken. Iron out all the wrinkles. Wash clean every stain by His blood. That we may be a bride presented to the bridegroom. It's pure, white. He's everything. Would you stand to your feet tonight? As I came tonight to bring this word to you, I knew that there would be those that are here that have got things in your life that are keeping your house from being in order, your spiritual house. And I'm going to ask you tonight to get out of your seat and come down to the front of this church building. And that you not come into a preacher, don't. Well, don't come to me, huh? You're coming to Him. And tonight, we're going to allow the eyes of the Holy Spirit to search and to find every way that is not right. And we're going to lay it down. We're going to lay it down, and we're not going to pick it up anymore. Tonight we walk away from it. Because the judgment of God takes away everything that is shaken. So right now, if you would, get out of your seats, please. And just come and stand down in this altar tonight. Oh God. Just come to Him. Begin to pray in your own way tonight. And ask the Lord to remove everything that is shaken in you. Oh God, we come before you tonight. We stand all over the front of this church building. And we have heard by your word tonight that everything that can be shaken will be shaken, and it will be removed out of the way, and only that that is unshaken will remain. God, all these things that you've been trying to shake off of our lives, sometimes we have held on to, even sometimes belligerently. Oh, Holy Spirit, break that stronghold tonight. Break that stronghold tonight in Jesus' name. Break the power of that sin that doth so easily beset us. Break the hold of that attitude that we won't let go of. Destroy the root of bitterness that is in our hearts, that is hindering us from getting our house in order. Holy Spirit, deal with us tonight. Deal with us as children. Oh God. We lay it down. Whatever it is, we lay it down. We lay it down. I don't want to be hindered anymore. I don't want to be hindered anymore. I want my house to be in order. I want my house to be ready. I want my life to be ready to meet Jesus. I don't want anything that will turn him away. I'm asking you tonight, Lord. Grant the gift of repentance, I pray. Grant the gift of repentance, O Lord. Lay our pride aside and let us come to you with repentance tonight, Lord. That we may leave it here and we'll walk out of this place and never be the same again. Spirit of God. Get my house in order. Get my house in order. Whatever you put your hand to, I embrace it tonight. I embrace it tonight, oh God. Have your way in me. Have your way in me. Prepare me. Prepare me, oh God. Prepare me to meet Him. Prepare me to meet Jesus. Break off the lethargy. Break off the spiritual darkness. Break off the cloud that follows us around. Break it off in Jesus' name. Give us a praise. Give us a praise in our spirit. Give us a shout in our tongue that we may exalt the name of the Lord, that we may lift up the hands that hang down, that we may stand upon the feeble knees, O God. We will rejoice in the Lord our God. Do it, I ask, Lord. Do it, I ask. All over this building tonight, God. Deal with our hearts. Do it in Jesus' name. They're the ones you brought the word to. They're the ones you came for. This is your house. Father, come and dwell. This is your house, a holy house of prayer, where the lost and the lonely bring their burdens and their cares. This is your house. This is your house. Come and dwell. We dedicate this temple to you, Lord. Let your glory fill this sanctuary. Enthroned on the praises of your people, Lord, we agree in unity. This is your house, Father, to come and dwell. This is your house, Lord, a holy house of prayer, where the lost and the lonely bring their burdens and their cares. This is your house. This is your house. Come and dwell. Holy Spirit, overflow this place. Decorate our walls with grace and mercy, and healing and redemption find searching soul. Lord, have your way. We humbly this is your house.
Tell him tonight.
Father, come and dwell. This is your house. This is your house. A holy house of prayer, where the lost and the lonely bring their burdens and their cares. This is your house. This is your house. This is your house. This is your house. Come and dwell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Heavenly Father, as we prepare to depart this place tonight, I pray the word that you have brought us here would stay. Stay in our mind, stay in our spirit. God, let it do what you have purposed it to do in preparing a house, a fit habitation for the Lord, that we may get our house in order. That we may get our house in order. For Jesus is coming soon, and we must be ready. We must be ready. Now, Father, as we leave this place, may the hand of your Spirit go with us to our homes, wherever it is that we are going. May your Holy Spirit go before us and prepare the way. Help help us to make straight paths for our feet. We're trusting and we're believing in you tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And the church said amen. And amen. Would you give the Lord a hand of praise tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be dismissed tonight.